We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Touchdown, Colorado!
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome into the Buffs Insider podcast, along with Neil Welk at CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Yes, I'm serious. He's here right now. We're going to record it, and I'm not going to erase it this week. Okay, let's get it off
promises,
the top.
Promises.
Let's get it off the top here. Go ahead and ridicule me and talk about what a moron I am. For the second time in about a month and a half, I deleted the podcast last week.
Well, you know, you're the audio expert around here. I'm just an old ink-stained wretch who types, so I have no control over what you do with it once you've got it in your hands.
For those of you who join us every week, and of course I talked about at the beginning of the podcast last week that I had done that for the second time in about 6 weeks. I admitted it publicly, and I was just waiting for the moment that I ran into Neil. So when I ran into Neil today, of course, I heard about it. And by the way, it's a good thing we weren't recording when I realized as I pushed the delete button and it was gone, because what I said is not arable for family consumption.
Yeah. We'll just move on, and it's just we're going to take the loss, learn from it, and get better.
You sound like a coach after all.
Going to watch some film. Going to try to take go back to practice this week and get better.
I like it. And by the way, the IT department has put a recovery software on my computer, so now I can next time I do that, I can actually recover this stuff. Hey, let's put a postscript, if you will, on the football team. Last Sunday, had the senior banquet, 21 guys, finally said goodbye to them. MVP Philip Lindsay, Offensive Player of the Year Stephen Montez, Rick Gamboa, Defensive Player of the Year. How'd you feel about the awards? I suppose they could have gone maybe except for the MVP. That one, I think, we all accepted that. But how'd you feel about the awards?
Well, the MVP, obviously, is Philip Lindsay. I mean, when you talk about heart and soul and everything else about the program, I mean, Philip Lindsay is Colorado football. And I've been around the program for a lot of years, and nobody ever exemplified Colorado football more than Philip. I mean, there have been a lot of other great Buffs, and I'm not taking away from them, but he certainly is in that stratosphere. As far as the other awards, Stephen Montez had a good year, not a great year. He'll be the first to tell you he could have had a better year. But, Stephen actually had some nice numbers, did a good job. Rick Gamboa, Mr. Steady Eddie in the middle. I think if you look at those awards, the good thing is those two guys are coming back next year. The other thing is there are other guys that could have been considered for it. They'll be back also. And if there's anything you hope is that those guys are right now really not happy with the way last season went, and they're working to correct that.
You know, earlier this week, we're doing some kind of year-end wrap-up pieces you'll see coming out on social media, on the website, in different areas. And I had a chance to sit down with Juwan Winfrey on the offensive side and Evan Worthington on the defensive side. You could tell both of those guys by what they said, how they conducted themselves, what they talked about has already been going on, that they understand how much they didn't reach expectations this year and how they're using that to kind of fuel things during the offseason.
Well, you know, and those are two extremely talented young men right there. I tell you, those are two guys that I see as having a big role. You know, obviously Juwan Winfrey on offense as a wide receiver, he's a guy that can play at the next level and is going to be very hungry next year. And Evan Worthington is a guy that NFL scouts were already talking about this year. I think those are two very key individuals as far as stepping up and being leaders of this team next year. This team needs to have some really strong leadership going into next year. Those are two guys that I think, through their work ethic and through the way they conduct themselves, it could be a big part of that.
If we could quote the great Bill McCartney, they got to have some guys with some fire in their belly, don't they?
That's exactly right. They have to have some guys with some fire in their belly. And those guys do. Those are two guys that do it. And I think if you look at this team this year, there were a lot of pieces there. There was a lot of talent. There were a lot of things there. And maybe that's what was missing, was that fire in their belly as far as wanting to win another championship, as far as wanting to succeed. Certainly, a lot of them accomplished some goals, but maybe next year they get that hunger back.
Isn't it interesting, though? It almost seems like a contradiction as we're sitting here talking about Philip Lindsay on one hand, one of the great Buffs of all time, a guy that does have fire in his belly and would put out about as much energy and exertion and passion as anybody, and yet maybe collectively it didn't have that, which always, I think, it probably puts an exclamation point on how important chemistry is on a team.
Yeah, it is. Everybody has to buy into that. And the more I look back at 2016, and I promise someday I'll quit talking about 2016, but that was just such an interesting year because it was a team that everybody bought in and everybody had a larger goal. And as it turns out, it produced a lot of great individual goals. Four guys get drafted. You know, this five or six, seven, eight guys in the NFL camp. So it produced what they wanted it to produce. But I think you're right. That chemistry thing cannot be overstated or overlooked. Next year, they're going to have to see what happens with that.
Mention those 21 guys that were at the senior banquet the other day. Philip Lindsay. You know, you look at Jeremy Irwin in that group. Bryce Bobo, Shea Fields. And one underclassman, obviously, in Isaiah Oliver. Which one of those guys that we're not going to see next year wearing black and gold do you think has the greatest opportunity in the NFL?
Oh, Isaiah Oliver. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a guy who's going to be taken in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. I mean, you and I saw him, everybody saw him make plays this year that not many people make. And he just keeps getting better. If you remember from 2 years ago, you saw a big, raw freshman out there and just learning what he was doing and learning how to play the position and how to play the game. He just kept getting better and better. And Isaiah Oliver is a guy that could play 8 or 10 years in the league with the kind of speed and athleticism that he has.
Okay, here's a lesson for you interviewing students at home. Just the way you rearrange one of those questions. Take Isaiah Oliver out of the equation. Now which one there's Mr. Smarty Pants do you think is the best shot at the NFL?
Well, you're the one that mentioned Isaiah.
I know, it was stupid on my part.
You know, I think Bryce Bobo has a nice shot. And the reason I say Bryce is because he's a guy that plays special teams. He has played special teams before. He's a tough guy that can go down and make a tackle. I know that the scouts also like the way Bryce Bobo likes to block. That's a skill that the wide receivers in the NFL that people often overlook is how do they block? You know, are they willing to go down and engage a safety on a running play? Bryce can go up and make tough catches. We've seen him do that. He's just a tough-minded kid. So I certainly think Bryce has a shot. Jeremy Irwin's another one that I think has a good shot to play in the NFL for a while, just because big, you know, strong offensive lineman, can play guard and tackle, very versatile guy, learns well, does a lot of different things. And so if you saw even his pass blocking even, you know, improved even as the year went on. So I think Jeremy's another guy that's got a good shot at playing. And Apalabi Laguda one more. That I think, you know, just because of CU's defensive backs, their success over the last four or five years, I think you got to throw Foe in there as somebody that has a shot at playing.
Boy, how about the way, speaking of that, I mean, Akella Witherspoon's been outstanding for the 49ers. Chidi Awuzie finally gets himself healthy, gets back at it. The last 2 weeks, he's been on fire. Jimmy Smith, you know, he gets hurt, and all of a sudden the Ravens' defense can't play because he's been so outstanding. It's been amazing how those Buffs have fared the last two or three years in the NFL.
Defensive backs, and look at Ken Crawley, a guy that was not drafted a couple years ago, but did play for Mike McIntyre's team for 3 years, came out and is playing really well for the Saints. Colorado's defensive backs are doing a good job in the NFL. And that's another reason I think Laguda, you know, somebody's going to take a look at him because they're going to go, well, he's got that little bit of that Colorado pedigree in him. It's worth taking a look.
By the way, if you can't tell by the background music, Neil and I are doing this at a CU basketball game as we're putting the podcast together this week. Let's segue into basketball. 96-69 at Cincinnati. Any questions last weekend?
That was a team of men. I tell you what, watching that Xavier team, what a well-coached team. An upperclassman who did not make mistakes, knew exactly what they were supposed to do. All of them knew their roles on that team. As Tad Boyle pointed out, their shooters shoot. The guys that can't shoot, they drive. They go to the rim. They go to the basket. And that's a team that has potential to play in the Final Four if you look at the way they play the game.
Here was the thing, I think, that was disappointing, and then you hope to see a young team learn a little bit. Early on in that ball game, the Buffs seemed a bit tentative. I don't think they understood the level at which the intensity was going to be with Xavier in their face, knocking away basketballs. You know, Tad said the postgame on the radio afterward, they were taking a ball away from us like candy away from a baby. We hope to see in the coming weeks now. That's a lesson learned by this young team.
And, you know, Tad said that the other day after practice. He said, they taught us a lesson. The question is, did we learn it? And that's what we're going to find. You know, we may not find out for a little while, but we'll find out very soon when the Pac-12 opens play. You know, we may not see this in the next few games, but they're going to see some top 20, 25 teams very soon in the Pac-12. They get Oregon early. They get Oregon State early. Then Arizona State is a team that I don't know if anybody's noticed, but they're really good, and they come here on January the 4th.
How about Arizona State? They've got a win over the Xavier team we're talking about. They've got a win over Baylor, and they've got a win over Kansas.
At Kansas. Right. Bill Self has lost something like 15 games at Allen Fieldhouse in the last 10 years.
You know, I ran into Bill on Wednesday night, Bill Walton, that is, on Wednesday at the arena, and I said to him, because he did that Kansas-Arizona State game, I said, are they for real? And he kind of raised an eyebrow, and he said, I didn't think so beforehand. I do now.
Oh, you know, and they play a really interesting lineup. I think they start a 6'8 guy in the post, and they play four guards.
Yep.
And it's, you know, that's a Bobby Hurley type of team. He finally has the team down there that he wants. He's not having to play. He's playing with his players. They're moving it at a wicked pace. They're scoring 90 points a game and just playing really well. So, yeah, we'll find out in a hurry if Colorado learned from that Xavier game.
Yeah, the Sun Devils. It's a 6'8 guy and a bunch of ankle biters outside of that, and they do create a lot of problems. You know, one guy that continues to be more and more intriguing for me basketball-wise as we go along is Lazar Nikolic. He's one of those guys that I like to say, the more I see, the more stock I want to buy in him.
Yeah, definitely. I think McKinley Wright said it after the game a couple games ago here in Boulder. Said he's sneaky athletic, and he is. He can run, he can jump, he can shoot. He's got a really high basketball IQ. I think he's a guy that even as this year goes on, you're going to see him do more and more things that are impressive.
Well, we're going to let our buddy Neil Welk of CUBus.com go here and transition to basketball. It was not a good week for both the men's and women's teams at the Coors Event Center. The CU women dropped an 81-75 game to Dartmouth at home on Monday night. However, that did come a few days after the Buffs won at rival Colorado State last Wednesday of last week. And that's where we caught up with CU Women's Associate Head Coach Toriano Towns.
You know, anytime you get a chance to play CSU, it's always a big game. It was something that we talked to our team about. You throw out the records. There's a lot of in-state emotion that goes into the game. And so it was an exciting atmosphere. They wore orange. It was an orange out, which always signifies a big game for them. It meant a lot to beat CSU. It meant a lot to win on the road again. And it just showed how resilient our ball club was.
You know, I'm watching the scoreboard on that one because we got the men's game going at the same time. It was a bizarre game. Buffs dominated the first and third quarters. The Rams dominated the second and the fourth quarters. So much for consistency of that one.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. It was very bizarre. And you're right. I mean, we did a good job of outscoring them in two quarters, and we certainly would have loved to have been consistent for four quarters. But we're young; we're still learning how to battle through some adversity, had to make some adjustments on the fly, and so it was. You know, we were happy that we were able to score a few more points than they did and come out with the win.
That was the sixth consecutive victory, in fact, for the Buffaloes. They improved to 7-1 this season, get the victory over their rival in-state here in the state of Colorado, or Colorado State, 70-67. Now they came back and had a disappointing loss on Monday night to Dartmouth. A little disappointing game there on Monday night.
You know, it was disappointing. We certainly didn't play as well as we have been over the start of the season, and you know, we had some kids who missed some shots that we normally make. Mm-hmm. And we didn't defend the way that we were capable of defending down the stretch. And we played a really good Dartmouth team, and credit to Dartmouth, they did what they needed to do to win. They were resilient, and we just came up a little bit short. So.
You know, I know the Buffaloes went into that game, by the way, the number one rebounding team of the Pac-12, ended up even against Dartmouth. And I know,
yes,
hearing JR's comments afterward, that disappointed her.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It's something that we focus on in practice every day. It's something we challenge our kids to do consistently. And I think as the game got away from us a little bit offensively, you know, as I said, kids were missing some shots that they are accustomed to making. Mm-hmm. Our rebounding focus went as well, and so it was one of those things that we certainly will look to shore up this week in practice, and get back to our winning ways.
You know, so many times when we talk women's basketball here at CU, we talk about Kennedy Leonard for good reason, but there is a star in the making, I think, in Annika Jang. She was the Pac-12 Freshman of the Week.
Yeah.
Last week, Monday night, she had 26 points.
Yeah, you know, Annika's been she's been a real delight this year. I mean, she's a kid. She just gets in the gym. She works really, really hard. She's very lighthearted. She's easy to coach. You know, she just enjoys being a college basketball player. She really is the consummate student athlete. She does a great job in the classroom. She's been a real bright spot for our ball club, and it's nice to have a bright spot in such a young kid.
And give us a quick comment before we wrap up here. On Friday night, you're at Air Force, staying on the front range. Tough challenge.
Very tough challenge. We were talking to some of our kids about Air Force. Mm-hmm. We played them a couple years ago. They're always really tough. They're well coached. They're military academy kids. They're sharp. So it'll be a great challenge for our ball club, and one that we're really excited about.
All right. Good luck on Friday.
Thanks so much. Appreciate
right.
it.
Now segueing from women's to men's basketball, the Buffs on Tuesday could not buy a bucket. I'm talking ice cold, and fell at home to the Toreros of San Diego, 69-59. Frustrating night for junior wing Naaman Wright and the Buffaloes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was a frustrating night for us. I'm sure our coaches were frustrated. They let us know. We got to get in the gym and keep shooting. Our shots felt, you know, we've been hitting shots in practice, and we've never shot the ball like that, 23%, or maybe it was less. It's probably a record, but we just got to stay at it, 7-3. It's not where we want to be, but it's not the worst. There are teams that are worse than us in the Pac-12 now.
Sure.
In the schedules or wins and losses, but, we got to win ball games when we're supposed to.
You know, in a contest like this, as the Buffaloes come out, you guys had some good looks early in this ball game, and I almost got the sense the longer it went on with the ball not falling, it began to affect you guys on the other end of the court a little bit. True?
Absolutely. When you when your defense, you know, and offense, they go hand in hand. You get stops so you can score. So when you get stops and you're not scoring, it's kind of it's a frustrating feeling. And we just gotta learn from it and realize that. We got to get to the rim. We got to drive the ball to the rim if we're not going to be hitting shots certain nights. We got to learn from it.
I noticed after this ball game, getting the Buffaloes fall to San Diego here at the Event Center, you and some of the other team leaders, George King, got you guys all in the center of the court as you guys were up two in a row here. It seemed like there was a pretty animated conversation out there. What was kind of the message?
We know that we have to have more pride than that individually. We know that that's not who we are. We know that we disappointed some fans, and we disappointed some former players, and that's the opposite of what we want to do. We got to come out here and play harder. It's unacceptable for us to play like that at our home, at home, and our seniors and juniors have to pick it up and lead our younger guys, and that's the hardest challenge.
here's one thing we know about playing basketball this level, right? Nobody feels sorry for you fellas, right, around the league. And so it's time to get back to work.
Absolutely. It's time to get back to work, get to the drawing board. No college basketball game is going to be easy. I don't care who you're playing. You've seen Loyola beat, who is it, Florida. You see a lot of, regardless of who the teams are, who the matchups are, no college basketball game is going to be easy. And I think we came in here thinking that we were supposed to win. And we did, you know, so we didn't treat them like that we would treat a Oregon or a Kentucky or whoever. And so we have to have our, you know, we have to be locked in on every single game.
How about you, after sitting out a year last year from your transfer year, being out here and being a mainstay on this team right now, kind of talk a little bit about your transition and where your game is at right now.
I could be playing so much better. It's just, you know, it's different. It's different for me playing in a 5-minute rotation. Mm-hmm. You know, 5 minutes, you rotate, you come out, you come in. You know, you got to be on this team, you got to be, for our coaches, you got to be on your P's and Q's. You can't make mistakes. And so it's just a little tough. It's different from where I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll get better. The more games that go along, it'll get better. My coaches will start to trust me more. I'll start trusting my coaches more, and everything will just be more cohesive and a team thing, you know. And so for me, it's just, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still figuring out how to put my footprints on the game when I can.
Well, you got two more games now left. You got South Dakota State coming in on Friday night. Then there's a neutral site game in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a week from Friday against Iowa. Well, get back in the gym. Get those shots to fall.
Yes, sir, we'll do.
Well, that'll wrap up this week's Buffs Insider Podcast. Remember, the CU men hosting South Dakota State tonight in Boulder. They've got one of the best big men in America in Mike Doms. Want to come out and check out that game at the Coors Event Center? Coverage begins on the Colorado Basketball Network at 5:30 with Buffs warm-up, followed by the tip-off between the Buffs and the Jackrabbits at 6. The CU women, meanwhile, toss it up at 7 o'clock at Air Force. Both of those games will stream live on CUBuffs.com. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Voice of the Buffalo's Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us on the Buffs Insider.